1930s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Fireside Chats.
Happy 420, Higher Side Chatters. Happy 420 indeed. Drink a little drink and smoking copious amounts of smoke today. From sunny San Diego, I'm your humble host, Greg Carlwood. And while THC is about much more than marijuana, every show does start with my little tagline about drinking and smoking because I fundamentally believe that a slight chemically induced altering of one's consciousness can be a very useful catalyst for the waking up process. Not necessarily for everyone, of course, but I consider a mind that changes states frequently to probably be a lot more difficult for the elites to tame. And a little of the fun stuff helps break us out of the typical 9-to-5 programming and opens us up to thoughts and ideas we might have otherwise dismissed. It's a big part of my personal philosophy. Or maybe a crafty rationalization to explain away my vices. Be that as it may, I'd still say that each has played an important role. I think there's many layers to the motif that these are gateway drugs, and honestly, guys, these are gateways I'm happy to walk through. But hands down, of any substance I've experienced across this spectrum, marijuana has been far and away the most useful tool for helping yours truly veer off the pre-approved robotic 9-to-5 reality and into the rabbit holes that have led to a more fulfilling and creative career than anything I could have dreamt up. And I would argue that's a big one of the many reasons the powerful puppet masters have fought tooth and nail to eliminate it from the lives of the masses. It is a big deal to me, so today we're going to pay homage to hemp in a gloriously timed 420 celebration with a man whose saga would be my exhibit A in the case that THC really is the best medicine. Rick Simpson is a pretty famous name that doesn't need much introduction. He's the creator of Phoenix Tears, or also known as Rick Simpson Oil, a highly concentrated form of THC extracted from marijuana flowers that he's used to treat and cure many things, including terminal cancer. I tried to stump him with various ailments, but it seems Rick has treated it all, and with pretty miraculous results. And the medical benefits are just one of about a dozen reasons to break cannabis free from the chains, and we cover it all as best we can. So park your ass and pack your glass and puff puff pass as we put some cracks in the power plant propaganda with a true guest of honor, Rick Simpson himself.
The Higher Side Cats is where it's at.
All right, people, we know that the nefarious elite has had a lockdown on nearly all aspects of life, education, the media, the medical field, the food supply, the fuel supply, and many, many more. And of course, we've heard the persistent arguments that the marijuana plant, one of our personal favorites for recreation, could be the solution to many of the chiseled down Illuminati options we've been given in the modern era, most importantly in the realm of health and medicine. Well, today we're going to be talking to the man who is doing more to try to make this happen than anyone on the planet, as far as I know. His name is Rick Simpson, a primary leader in the hemp movement and a shining example of what a modern-day role model really is. He's dedicated his life to standing up to the machine, exposing the truth, empowering individuals to reclaim a bit of their own personal sovereignty, and saved many, many lives in the process. I think anybody who hears from Rick will be changed forever. The material is that powerful, and it is a true honor and a privilege for me to get to spend some time with him today and share such important information with all the listeners. I know I couldn't be more excited. Rick, my man, welcome to THC.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I'm happy to be with you. And, you know, I just want to get the word out to people how simple this medication really is. Mm-hmm. My goal is to get people to become self-sufficient again. You know, grow your own plants, make your own medicine. This is a natural, God-given plant that is harmless in nature. It is non-addictive, and no one ever had the right to outlaw its medicinal use in the first place. And now that we're in, you know, in a cancer epidemic and so many other diseases are rearing their ugly heads, you know, I mean, we have a sensible solution here to these problems. And this medication, from what I've seen, I always like to mix the oils from different heavy sedative indica strains together. Mm-hmm. And because the strains do vary in medicinal value from strain to strain. But most of it, from what I've seen, the heavy indicas are all effective in the treatment of cancer. but some will be better for pain relief than other strains, or they'll be better for lowering ocular pressure for glaucoma patients, or controlling blood sugar for diabetics. Hmm. You know, so they vary a great deal. So by mixing the different oils from different strains together, you get basically what I call a cure-all. I mean, when you take that oil, it works on everything. And when the results we've seen with this is just amazing. See, the problem here is basically when the oil comes into play, you don't need the pharmaceuticals anymore.
Right.
And that's what they're so afraid of. And I mean, the sad truth is today, you know, all we have to do is look at the basis of medicine. And that basis is called the Hippocratic Oath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ask yourself a simple question. You know, when you read the Hippocratic Oath, it says right there, first do no harm. And it also says something about I shall not administer poisons. So what do these doctors today think they're doing? You know, they're not following their own Hippocratic Oath, for God's sakes. And if they were, they would be dispensing, you know, medicines like this wonderful oil made from the cannabis plant.
Amen. It's more like the Hippocratic Oath.
That's about the size of it, brother. Very hypocritical.
Man, well, you are doing amazing work. I'm sure most of this audience has heard rumors and whispers about hemp oil as a medicine and a cancer cure, but I think it really does take your story to drive that home and remove some of the lingering doubt that exists due to the persistent campaign against it. So to get us started, could you kind of tell the people your story and how this all got started?
Well, briefly, I'd like to tell people what is going on at present, if you don't mind, Greg.
Sure.
There's so many people right now being scammed. And like I said, my message is clear. Read on phoenixtears.ca. We gave people the instructions on how to produce the oil and the dosage instructions. It's all there for free.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many people now that are basically just con artists. And they're using my name, my information, pictures of me, and everything else. They're conning the public into thinking that they're buying the real Rick Simpson oil.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, they're not. And I mean, the sad truth is here. I mean, the system wants to discredit the use of this medicine. So they're not going after these con artists. They're letting them run rampant. And there's hundreds of them all over the planet doing the same thing.
Right.
And like I said, people are dying because they are not getting the proper oil, which again reflects on the real oil. It makes people believe that it doesn't really work. But if you have the oil produced from the sleepy sedative strains of indica, believe me, you'll be amazed with the healing powers these oils truly have. Hmm. But they have to be made properly, and like I said, my website provides that information. But please don't be taken in by all of these people who are saying they are supplying the real Rick Simpson oil. You know, I mean, some of them are even claiming that they're directly affiliated with me. And that's nothing but nonsense. I have no connection with anyone who is supplying the oil, and I have no connection with any foundations. And that also includes the Phoenix Tears Foundation in Colorado. I have no connection with these people.
Huh.
It's really a messed up situation right now. There's even a Rick Simpson Foundation out there on the website now with my picture on it.
Wow.
And that has nothing to do with me.
Well, that gets me into another question I did have for you, because not only are there people trying to clone your website and use your name to sell a product, but also as a guy who has a medical card here in California, can go into a dispensary, there's still a lot of confusion because you have hemp oils, hash oils, tinctures, salves, balms, all this other stuff. But your oil is clearly different from a lot of these buyable items. Can you tell us how?
Well, it's not so much that it's different. I mean, hashish is made from the same trichomes that I produce the oil from. But of course, the hashish, you know, has a certain amount of plant matter and other contaminants, you know, within it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you make the oil following, you know, the instructions that I gave people, you come out basically with the pure cannabinoids and maybe a small amount of plant wax, but very little. You know, and these medicines that you can produce from this plant have already proven themselves. I mean, you look up on the internet, on YouTube, and there's hundreds of testimonials up there from people everywhere that have used this for cancer, multiple sclerosis, AIDS, all diseases. And it's proved to be a very, very effective medication. So, I mean, I think there's abundant proof out there right now for anyone. And, you know, and the scientific studies are all there to back it up. It's just that the big money people who stand in the background that really run our governments, and they're really running the whole planet. I mean, they're the same people that control the pharmaceutical industry, the oil industry, the pulp and paper industry, the news media. They're in control of it all.
Absolutely.
You know, so we're never told the truth. It's always their agenda, but the simple truth about this plant can no longer be hidden. I mean, its medicinal use goes back for thousands and thousands of years, man's oldest known and safest medication. It's only been in the last few decades that it's been outlawed, and it was outlawed simply because it was a huge threat to so many big money interests, the cotton industry, the pulp and paper industry, the energy providers, the pharmaceutical companies. When you start seeing all the different uses this plant has, because, I mean, today you can make basically over 50,000 different things from this plant. Everything we use in our day-to-day lives can be produced from hemp in an earth-friendly, sensible way. But, I mean, we're killing this planet every day. I mean, fossil fuels, we're filling, you know, we're driving the environment crazy. CO2 levels are going through the roof. If we were growing cannabis and using it as a fuel, it's like they say now with the new enzyme processes that as much as 1,800 gallons of ethanol can be produced from one little acre of hemp.
Right.
Now that's enough to run your car, heat your home, and have a few hundred gallons left over every year. You know, they don't want us to be self-reliant and independent from them. Mm-hmm. They need our business, but their business is actually killing the planet. All of these hemp-based industries that are very viable, we could take these industries and take these polluting industries we have today and switch them over into earth-friendly hemp-based industries. We'd have more employment. We could put people back on the land. In fact, I think we could bring an end to unemployment. It would answer so many of our problems. And if we keep going at the rate we are, you know, we're not designed to live in a poisoned environment. Our immune systems now are all compromised due to this toxic, you know, environment that surrounds us. And to me, the only rational answer is to simply grow hemp on a grand scale and let's get back to reality. You know, I mean, like I said, this is a God-given plant and it's our natural right as human beings to use, you know, these medicinal plants to heal ourselves. And no one has the right to tell us that we can't. So I think it's time for governments to grow up, and I think it's time for people everywhere to grow up. If we're going to save ourselves and we're going to save this beautiful planet, we better roll up our sleeves and get at it.
Well said, man. And I know I have brought up your Phoenix Tears oil to several people when the conversation turns to cancer, and the critics always say that it just seems too unlikely that the whole industry would ignore a miraculous cure like this. They say it seems nearly impossible for a small group of families to get control of our entire medical field and education. But, you know, I've looked into this for quite some time. I know you have as well. It's a bit easier and simpler than most people would think, isn't it?
Much easier. When they started the medical foundations back in the early 1900s, you know, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and all that bunch, the idea with those guys, I mean, when they got the foundations going, well, they took over the medical schools. Mm-hmm. And then, like a lot of Rockefeller's buddies, they had the chemical and poison plants. Well, what a great way to get rid of these substances. You know, tell the public that they're medicine. Teach doctors allopathic medicine, medicine from chemicals and poisons. And that's what we have today. Right. But old John D. Rockefeller himself, he would only use empirical medicine, medicine from plants. So, and Mr. Rockefeller lived to be around 100 years old. And that was back, you know, a long, long time ago. It's like I said, it was ruthless what these people have done. And there's been so many villains involved, like Harry Anslinger, Richard Nixon. I mean, Nixon was particularly evil. He formed the Schaefer Commission to study cannabis. So the report came back from the Schaefer Commission to legalize this plant immediately. And they didn't feel that it could even be classified as a narcotic. And what did Nixon do? Well, he turned right around and he started the war on drugs. And then they made cannabis the main target. And Gerald Ford passed all the research after the Medical School of Virginia study in 74, 75, proved that cannabis, that the compounds like THC in cannabis can kill cancer cells. Well, they shut down that whole study, and then they confiscated all of the research, or all the reports and everything from all the universities regarding cannabis, the study of cannabis. So, and then they passed it all back to the pharmaceutical industry. But what people have to realize is back in the 1800s, these big companies we have today Parker Davis, Squibb, Eli Lilly, all of these pharmaceutical companies, they were producing cannabis-based medicines back then. Practically, if you look in the old pharmacopoeia from the 1800s and early 1900s, it's basically wall-to-wall hemp. Now, these companies produced these medications for years. In the mid-1800s, it was common practice for these companies to produce the essential oils from many different, you know, healing plants and herbs and provide them as medicines. Well, of course, you're going to make the essential oil from the most medicinal plant now, aren't you? But, you know, through all the studies I've done, I have never found a pharmaceutical company in that era that actually supplied the real oil. Mm. They supplied tinctures, oil, you know, watered down with alcohol. We all know alcohol is not going to heal much.
Right, but, right.
And then Eli Lilly in the 1880s, they were selling hash pills as painkillers. And I have no doubt they worked. But see, they controlled the potency of these drugs. And the problem was they couldn't patent the hemp plant. No patent means no money. And in those days where, you know, in the 1800s, early 1900s, it was legal to grow cannabis everywhere. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., it was some of these states had huge cannabis crops. But to them, it was just a huge threat. So, you know, there was no way they could patent it. And if those farmers ever found out that they were growing the greatest miracle drugs in the world right in their backyard, then the drug industry would be out of business.
All right. They would have put up more of a fight.
Well, of course. So it's a very long, ugly history that we're looking at here. And I look at this, Greg, as man's darkest chapter in our history. Mm. I mean, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people have died and suffered over the last few decades that should have lived.
Right.
This is outright genocide, what's going on, and it has to come to an end. It just doesn't make any sense. The knowledge is there. The proof is there. So what are we waiting for?
Amen, man. And I have learned a lot of different little cliff notes to the history of hemp production through listening to your interviews. One interesting aspect is apparently they were putting people to death during the Inquisition for using hemp. And so obviously the religious arm of the Illuminati has been instrumental too. And it hasn't just been one cover up. I guess it's had to happen several times.
Oh, it's always been a political and religious football all through history. But I would like to mention to the public too, there's a lot of hype going on now about these high CBD oils. Now, believe me, I love all the cannabinoids. They're all wonderful. But trouble is, we don't even know how many there really are. Last count I heard was that Dr. Hanush had isolated 108 different cannabinoids, and he felt that there were still more.
Wow.
So we still have a lot to learn about this plant. But all this hype about CBD is misleading people. You know, and a lot of people that are dying from cancer are getting these high CBD oils, and they're just not working for them. THC was always known to be the cancer killer. So I want people to be aware, you know, like CBD definitely does help with epilepsy. You know, it can reduce the number of seizures in an epileptic child. But what I see here, even when the child is still taking these oils, they still have some seizures. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe if there was a little bit more THC in those oils, that the seizures would stop completely. But, you know, I want people to understand that THC, I think, really is the main cancer killer in the cannabis plant. So for God's sakes, if you have cancer, look for an oil that is very high in THC. The oils I used to produce were up in around the 90% range, THC or even more. Mm-hmm. So, and these are the oils that gave this medication its reputation. So that's the way to go if you have cancer. And please don't let people mislead you.
Yeah. Now I'm a daily smoker of marijuana, and I think a decent part of this audience is. Do you think any of these health benefits carry over to smoking marijuana, or is it just in the oils?
Oh, no. Even the smoking aspect. I mean, I've never pushed the smoking aspect
right.
Because I've always said, you know, if you really want to see the healing power of this plant, produce the oil, and then you can find it. But even the smoking aspect now, the latest studies are showing that people who smoke cannabis has 62% less chance of coming down with lung cancer.
Wow.
Well, that's preventative medicine.
Yeah.
And I do know people that have smoked cannabis to help control their blood sugar and ocular pressure. So even the smoking aspect can only be looked at as preventative medicine. But my aim, really, like I said, where our world is so toxic now, I think every man, woman, and child on this planet should be ingesting small amounts of this oil every day to keep themselves detoxified and in a state of good health, because it's the only thing that can protect them. This is being hidden, but the truth is coming out in all directions now. So I think in the very near future that governments are going to have to give in. I mean, at present, they're still in bed with the pharmaceutical companies, and they want the pharmaceutical companies to supply, you know, this oil. But the simple truth is, you know, most people today, especially in a lot of these countries where they've had financial problems, the people just don't have the money to play these pharmaceutical games any longer.
Right.
So what's going to happen? You know, the poor people will simply go out and grow their own plants, and they'll produce their own oils, because we've showed them how since 2004. And I don't see, you know, what can a government do? What are they going to do? Put everyone in jail? The end result of this, I think, is going to be total freedom. You know, we will be able to grow as many plants as we want and use it for whatever purpose we want, because it's all for the benefit of mankind, and it's for the benefit of this earth.
Well said. Man, you must get so frustrated when you see all these fundraisers and pink ribbons and charities when the solution is right there being ignored.
Well, these cancer societies, matter of fact, all these medical foundations, I think for the most part, they're all frauds.
Yeah.
The Cancer Society is particularly guilty because I contacted those people back in 2003 and they just brushed me off. So the whole damn thing is a fraud. And I feel sorry for the people that donate money to these causes thinking that they're actually doing some good because, you know, I don't know where all the money's going, but I don't see any cancer cures coming out. And like I said, you know, when I contacted them, they just basically rejected it, even though I had proof to back up everything I was saying.
Right.
So, you know, what are these people doing and why are we giving them money? I know in Canada, the only organization my father had any love for at all was the Salvation Army. He said they were the only ones doing any good. And I think maybe Dad was right.
Yeah, man, it's so sad because critics want to see the evidence, but yet they don't understand that there is an embargo in a large way against a lot of the research and a lot of the evidence. I mean, like you said, there are some studies out there. There's plenty of them out there, but they're not promoted. You have to really go digging for them. And I guess I would ask you, since you've been doing this, what's your success rate been for the people that you've treated?
Oh, extremely high. If we get a patient before they take chemo or radiation, if they just come with a diagnosis of cancer, it's basically a given that they can be cured. You might not get 100% all the time, but I'm telling you, brother, you're way up in the high 90% range.
Man.
And so it's just done amazing things for so many people. But even the ones that come after they've taken chemo and radiation, if they follow, you know, my instructions, of course, I always advise them to ingest a great deal more oil. You know, the standard cancer treatment is 60 grams of this oil. Just a little over 2 ounces of oil, and you take that over 90 days. And usually after 90 days, if you have a serious cancer, it's gone. And usually other many other good things have happened to your body along with it. But if you've had chemo and radiation, you know, the damage from these treatments is ongoing. It lasts for years. And these treatments are carcinogenic. They're cancer-causing treatments. So you have to cleanse your body, you know, of all these toxins and try to undo all the damage that these treatments have done. So I always advise anyone that is taking chemo and radiation to take 180 grams of oil as quickly as they possibly can. And that usually takes like 5 months or so for somebody to accomplish this. But see, what people don't get about this, you know, I mean, in the beginning, yes, you can get high off this medicine. That's the reason I tell people to start with these little tiny doses 3 times a day. And then every 4 days, try to double their dosage. Keep doing that. And what happens is your body builds up a tolerance. I mean, usually a patient within about a month to 5 weeks, they can, by that point, they can ingest a 1 gram or 1 milliliter. It's almost the same thing. They can ingest that amount every 24 hours. So a third of a gram every 8 hours. And these are like terminal cancer patients. They go back to work. And people they work with can't even tell that they're taking anything. You know, you don't show the effects. There's no high anymore because your body has built up the tolerance.
Right.
And this is what I try to get into people's heads. But, you know, in the beginning, you see, a lot of people don't have experience with what they call being high. And, I mean, the heavy indica strains are very sedative. And what I tell people, I said, when you start to ingest this medicine, if it makes you feel sleepy, don't fight it. Just lay down and go with it and enjoy the ride. It's not going to harm you.
Right.
But people are like, some people, you know, they try to fight the sleepy effect, and then that causes anxiety and things of that nature. But often people are getting the wrong oils too, made from sativa strains. Now these strains, this, I always recommend people do not make oil for internal use from sativas. They are far, and many of these sativa strains are so energizing, they're scary.
Yes.
Literally bounce off the walls on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not what I want. I want a terminal cancer patient laying down and sleeping. And that's what the heavy sedative indica strains promote, sleep and rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very important part of the healing process.
Yeah. And the medicine aspect of this is what's so important, so crucial. I mean, we're saving lives. But at the same time, I think people need to get away from the idea that being high is somehow wrong or immoral or evil. You know, it's relaxing, it's euphoric, it's enjoyable. And if it comes along with medicine, just enjoy it rather than being so concerned with, oh my gosh, I'm high. I've been told my whole life this is a bad thing, or I need to weed out the high from the medicine. Just accept it as it comes, I would say.
You're right, brother. I mean, you know, all of this hype over, you know, psychoactive. You know, cannabis is psychoactive. Oh, how scary is that? What's the most psychoactive substance on this planet? Could it be called a substance called caffeine in our coffee?
Right.
Are we going to outlaw coffee? You know, this is so stupid what they're doing, but or what we're allowing them to do. I mean, all this reefer madness was nothing but a pack of lies, and we all know it. And every law, statute, or act that was ever put in place to prohibit us from the use of this plant, they were all put in place with the use of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a free and democratic society, are we supposed to react to laws that are based in corruption? I don't think so. And I think it's just about high time the public realized this, and they should start telling their politicians to wise up very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are dying here for no damn reason other than greed, and I think we've had more than enough of it.
Amen, man. And it does seem like the tide is finally kind of starting to turn, at least in terms of education. But this discovery really has turned your life upside down. I mean, they have fought you tooth and nail. You've been going against the grain so much to try to speak out about this, right? It has not been easy.
Well, I just went about it in an honest way. I mean, you see, in 1972, my cousin died at 25 years old from cancer. Now, at that time, I was 23. He was the first man or first person I ever knew that even had cancer, and he was the first person I ever knew that died from it.
Mm.
You know, cancer was quite rare, and that was only like 45 years ago. But today, it's everywhere, you know. So, I mean, about 3 years after my cousin died in 72, I was leaving work, and this report come on this local AM channel. It only had a broadcast range of about 20 miles, a little AM channel in Amherst. And it was this, the reporter, he was laughing like a fool, but he was saying, like, this study just in. Some study in the U.S. has found that THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, has been found to kill cancer, you know, kill cancer cells. So, but he's laughing like an idiot. So I, you know, when I heard this, I thought, you know, this guy's just got a sick sense of humor.
Right.
But it stuck in my brain because of my cousin's death. And then 30 years later, I put that knowledge to good use, and guess what? It's all true. And the study he was referring to was a Medical School of Virginia study, which proved just that. So, you know, so the American government has known for sure since 1974, 1975, that this is a very probable cure for cancer. What have they done about it? They still got it listed, you know, as a non-medicinal plant, Schedule One. And on top of that, the American government themselves, a few months after I started raising a ruckus about this back in 2003, the American government goes out and puts medicinal patents on the plant that they say is non-medicinal.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, this is insanity.
It is, man. And we did talk about your success rate, very high success rate, but just to silence all the critics who might say, well, what about the sample size? What about how many people have been treated? Yeah, I mean, you've treated probably thousands with this oil, right?
Well, when I was still in Canada, I treated, I'd say, well over 5,000 people with all kinds of different medical problems. But, you know, since that time, people everywhere, you know, in the world are making this oil. And I'm getting emails every day from people, you know, that have had wonderful success with this substance if it's made properly.
Mm-hmm.
So by now, I would have to say, Greg, that probably millions worldwide have already used this medication with good results. But like I said, there are those out there who are getting low quality oils from these unscrupulous dealers. And that really, in turn, gives the medicine a bad name.
It does.
And it's horrible what's going on right now. We are so restricted. But like here in Europe, I found more freedom over here. People were much more open-minded in Europe than they were in North America. I mean, North America, they're just totally brainwashed about this subject. But see, Europe has such a long history with this plant's use. And right here in the Balkans, up until 1958, I think the Balkans was the second biggest hemp producer in the world. But I don't know how they worked it out, but they had Marshal Tito outlaw it. And since that time, like I said, people have been suffering and dying for no reason. But it seems that, you know, that, like I said, people are more open-minded over here. And what I'm seeing right here now, like in Slovenia, the country next door, and in here in Croatia, like half the cancer patients now are using this oil. You know, I mean, this is how prevalent it really is. Right here in Zagreb, at this very moment, you cannot buy cannabis. It's all being bought up for medicine. You know, it's crazy what's going on. But the governments are still dragging their feet and trying to stop it, you know. But there's no stopping this now. But my concern, my main concern here, especially in Europe, Europe grows a lot of sativas. And like I said, these sativas can have very bad effects if you ingest them. You know, a sativa oil is okay for the treatment of, like, skin cancer or psoriasis or, say, a severe burn, like third-degree burn, something like that. It would work just fine. But for internal use, the effects can be frightening. So, but that's what's happening here right now. I mean, people are making the oil out of any strain they can get their hands on. And some of these oils are pretty damn scary, you know. So, I mean, this is a situation. So I'm hoping in the near future that we can get this industry stabilized and that people can, you know, begin to get seeds that they, you know, they'll know exactly what they're growing and what the medical qualities are. I hope that in the near future, we, with the help of a few experts I know, I think that we can even determine the proper cannabinoid levels to treat each and every medical condition in the most effective manner. You know, it's just simple. It's just more or less a simple process of elimination. I don't think you even have to be a scientist to do it. But this is what needs to be done. But we need the freedom. We need a government that'll turn us free to do it. And this is what I've been looking for. But this corruption, you know, that the big money caused years ago has reached globally. They really control everything. They say, though, like the Rothschild family. From what I understand, that one family is in control of over half the money on this planet. Now, if that's true, who's the boss?
Well said. Well said. Yeah, I often have thought if I were to get cancer, because we know that all the poisons in our society are just so invasive in our lives, and it just seems like a given that it's going to be something that most of us have to deal with or experience. And I thought, if I were to come down with cancer and I wanted to go this natural route, where is the best place on the planet to go for it? Because obviously the United States is not the best, but you said there are areas of the world where they are treating it with, the medical professionals are treating this as a viable option a little bit?
Well, there's an awful lot of doctors now jumping ship, believe me. I mean, I just did two seminars in Serbia, and on both those seminars, there was doctors on the panel. The first one was a doctor. He was a military doctor, one of the top military doctors in that country. And that man sat there and agreed with everything I said. You know, total freedom. Let's grow this. And then the next night, there was another doctor on this next panel. And, of course, he agreed with it, too. But then again, he's talking about, you know, controlling it and regulating. So when he was done, I got my hands on the microphone. And, I mean, the place was packed that night. And I just said to the audience, I said, look, you know, we've grown this plant for thousands of years with no regulations. Why do we need them now? And I mean, the applause, the place just exploded.
Yeah.
You know, the whole audience was in total agreement with me. I mean, this plant does not pose a danger. It can save us, for God's sakes. You know, and we have to be absolute lunatics not to be using it.
Right. And you mentioned it works on burns too. And you, I've heard you tell a story. You had a pretty severe burn, and this seemed to work almost a miracle on it, right?
Well, it didn't seem to work. It did work. In 1999, when I first produced the oil, I was under the influence of all these pharmaceuticals that I'd been taking for this head injury I'd got in 1997. So believe me, my brain was badly messed up. So I'm down there trying to make oil with solvent, and of course I wound up setting myself on fire in a big way. So by the time I rolled, or there was a big mud puddle outside, and by the time I got done rolling around in that to get the fire out, about three quarters of my right hand had literally melted. It was hanging in gobs. You know, it was just unbelievable. So as soon as I seen it, I said, well, there, you know, you're going to be scarred for life. So I went in and I put it in a bucket of cold water. And a few hours later, my girlfriend at that time, she came down and she cut these gobs off. It didn't hurt because it's all dead. You don't feel it.
Right.
And about 4 or 5 days later, she said to me, she said, Rick, you know, you've got to go to a doctor about this. So anyway, I go in to see this doctor. And as soon as he looked at my hand, he said, like, when did you do this? And I said, well, 4 or 5 days ago. And he said, my God, man, you got third degree burns. He said, you know, and he said right there, he said, there's nothing I can do. So he just took some gauze and he wrapped my hand up. And he told me to come back in 7 days and that they were going to arrange for skin grafts from my back and my ass and things. So, I mean, I was still under the influence of the pharmaceuticals. So I just got up and staggered home. And of course, when I got home, I thought, well, I'm going to make this oil come hell or high water. So downstairs I went and I started making the oil again. So this time I got the whole bandage just soaked in the oil solvent mix. And after about 3 days, the bandage became so ugly and dirty, I just took it and threw it in the trash. But what was amazing about the whole thing, you know, 7 days after the doctor had told me to come back, I went back to him. And I put my hand, when I put my hand out, his eyes got as big as two saucers. I mean, he was just, and he looked at me and he said, 7 days ago, you had third degree burns. He said, today, all that's there is pink skin. Even the hair follicles grew back. It was amazing what it did. Not a scar on my hand. My right hand looks the same as my left. No scars. So, you know, if this can regrow my hand, you know, when you look at the agony people go through in burn units, you take a child that had bad facial burns in a burn unit, they're going to go through months and months of hell. Now, if you put this simple oil, you know, if you gave them this simple oil as a treatment, do you think you might regrow that child's face?
Right.
I do. And we can do it without scars. So why isn't our burn units using this?
Right. It's so sad when you hear all the widespread uses. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry, people trust it, but it's such poison. I mean, one of my best friends now has Crohn's disease, which was caused by taking Accutane for acne in high school, which is just a pharmaceutical. And, you know, now he's having trouble for life, and he's starting to look into the possibilities of hemp oil. Of course, he can't get it where he lives or doesn't have access to the supply to make it. You know, I'm like, hey, if you care about your health, man, you might need to move to a freer state or a freer country because your health should be a number one.
Well, when it comes to Crohn's disease, there's no question he's on the right track. I mean, this oil just works miracles for people who suffer with this condition. If you go on YouTube, there's a lady who put a testimonial up there named Shauna Banda. And she also wrote a book called Live Free or Die. And Shauna tells, she was dying from Crohn's too. And she tells her whole story. And it's just amazing what the oil did for this woman. So, I mean, all of these diseases, they even tried this oil on flesh-eating disease. Guess what? It worked.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's no end to what we're looking at is a new day in medicine. And cannabinoids really are the future of medicine. Not these chemicals and poisons that we currently endure.
Right.
You know, they make no sense. And when, like I said, when you look at radiation, chemotherapy, that's just poisoning. Do you really think it's a good idea to give someone enough poison to kill their immune systems and watch all their hair fall out? And this is supposed to be helping them, even though the doctors all know, we all know, these are carcinogenic, cancer-causing treatments. To me, it's like going into a hospital with a bullet wound and some doctor coming out with a gun and shooting you between the eyes to cure you. It just doesn't make any sense. also a lot of things the medical system uses, like these CAT scans, PET scans, more and more radiation. Even a damn X-ray can give you, could give you, possibly give you cancer, because radiation causes cells to mutate. Mm-hmm. So when you look at these CAT scans, you're taking hundreds of times more radiation than you would take from a single X-ray. Mm-hmm. So again, I think they're just putting the patients in danger.
Man, so you mentioned how many things this can possibly treat. Of course, it just seems like a general immune booster, but are there any physical injuries or illnesses that you haven't seen it have an effect on?
Well, I honestly, brother, can't say that there has. I mean, it works on everything. If you have the right oil and it's produced properly, I really don't know of any medical situation that it can't be used effectively. I mean, this oil will even stop a toothache. And like I said, even on third-degree burns, if you put this oil on a third-degree burn in just a matter of 2-3 minutes, no more pain. It's a natural anesthetic, and it's also a natural antibiotic. Hmm. And it heals, you know, heals the body so rapidly, it's just beyond belief. But today, I've got to the point now, I've dealt with a lot of people, and believe me, people can give you a lot of headaches. So I like dealing with animals. You know, we've treated a lot of dogs and different creatures with this oil with wonderful results. And when you work with animals, like animals don't worry about overdosing. You just give them a dose, they go sleep, and they get up and they take another dose.
Right.
Since like you take an animal like a dog, where their metabolism is so much quicker than a human's, it's almost like you can see, you know, them healing right before your eyes. It's not uncommon to heal a dog with terminal cancer in a week and a half to 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It just does amazing things. And you give an old dog like this oil, the rejuvenation you witness is just beyond belief. I gave a dog that was around 20 years old. I give her two doses every day, about a quarter of a gram per dose, big doses. It knocked her down, but I gave her two every day for 5 days. At the end of those 5 days, that dog was like a newborn pup. It was running back and forth to the road, which is over 100 yards each way, just like it was, you know, 1 or 2 years old. It was amazing, the difference.
Wow.
So it can be used in so many different ways for all animal life. I mean, we all have what they call the endocannabinoid system, the CB1, CB2 receptors. Dogs, cats, horses, elephants, humans, we all have it. And this is what it's designed for. Our own bodies produce cannabinoids. But when our immune systems become compromised, you know, and we take things like these antibiotics that the medical system gives us, which actually kills everything, then our immune systems are trying to come back. But it's at times like that that cancer can rear its ugly head, because then it can gain a foothold, because the immune system is, again, still not, it's not producing enough natural cannabinoids to kill the cancer cells off. Mm-hmm. That's when these cannabinoids from the hemp plant come into play. And the decarboxylation, that's another important thing about these oils. If you follow my instructions, from what I understand, it achieves perfect decarboxylation, even within a rice cooker. And what all you're really doing is you're removing the carboxyl group from the molecule. And when you do, then it will fit right into our receptors. And that causes the cancer cell death. So, you know, I mean, this plant, in reality, is man's best friend. It's, you know, we've used it all through history for clothing, for food, for fiber, textiles, paper, you name it, you know, and medicine, of course. So, I mean, what are we doing by allowing this plant to be outlawed in the first place? So I think it's time for the human race to grow up. And, you know, I mean, we need the freedom to do this. And once we set the cannabis hemp plant free, I think we'll set ourselves free.
Well said. And I know a lot of the critics that I've talked to about this, they say, oh, well, the science is so vague, you know, but you just laid it out pretty well right there. It just seems like there is a pretty concrete connection between the cannabinoid receptors we have in the body and the immune system. They seem to be very interlinked. And I think that might be one of the things that the medical community is trying to not let people realize.
Oh, that's very true. But see, where I catch them every time, you know, I've done, you know, so many interviews and lectures and seminars on this subject, you know, some of the top experts in the world. And I always tell the audience basically the same thing. Don't believe a word I'm saying. Simply go out, purchase about 30 grams of good high-grade bud, preferably indica, but you could use sativa for skin conditions, and take that bud, it's only 30 grams, and produce the oil from it, which should give you somewhere around 4 grams of high-grade oil. Then you go out and you find someone with skin cancer, or a diabetic ulcer that won't heal, a third-degree burn, or psoriasis. Just put the oil on, put a bandage on, and about every 3 days, change the bandage, add new oil, watch what happens. Hmm. Anybody can prove this. I mean, the medical system can't even heal a diabetic ulcer, for God's sakes. Medicine today is nothing but a dirty joke. It's all about the money. I honestly think that doctors would like to be able to heal their patients for real. But, at first I used to blame the doctors and the politicians and the legal system for all of this. But the reality here is we've all been brainwashed. They're no more guilty than we are. But, you know, where there is so much proof now, I think it's time that governments of today, I mean, we know that these governments in the past were corrupt and they put these laws in place. But where we have so much evidence today, I think it's time that governments who are thinking rationally should get up and say, okay, let's repeal all of these laws and throw them in a trash can where they belong. Set the plant free, set the people free. And in the end, I don't think they'll have any choice.
Right. I totally agree with you. Now, I myself, I have pretty good health relatively, but I do have allergies. I've taken a lot of supplements and a lot of, you know, trying to take natural immune boosters in a pill form, and nothing really ever seems to work. And I'm not going to take the pharmaceuticals for allergies. I just deal with it. Have you seen people who have like chronic allergies have effects by taking the oil?
No, I've had many people that were suffering with allergies. I remember one lady in Macan, she used to break out every year in these big lumps. And they would be so itchy, and she would scratch them until she bled. They were all over her body. She started taking that oil for other purposes, and she had 5 or 6 different things wrong with her. The oil healed every one of them, and she hasn't suffered with any allergies ever since. So this is the most rational treatment I know for somebody to take that has, you know, allergy problems or any other medical problem, really. I mean, a lot of the patients that came to me, like a lot of these patients were taking, you know, 24, 30 pills a day. I always told the patients, I said, look, I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you what to do. But I can tell you, if you try to take the oil along with these pharmaceuticals, the oil is going to let you know that it doesn't like it. You know, usually what happens is they get upset stomachs and, you know, constipation, because the oil is recognizing these pharmaceuticals as the toxins they really are. So I would tell these people, and I would tell them, go back to the doctor who put you on this stuff and have him take you off it. That's, you know, that's what I asked them to do. But, you know, you'd see the patient like 30 days later. The only thing they're taking is the oil. And a lot of them didn't go to their doctors or anything else. They just stopped taking pills. Huh. You know, some people even went off heart medications, for God's sakes, which actually scared me.
Wow.
But none of them died. So, you know, this is most of the problem today, I think. You know, you go to the doctor over something, he gives you a pill. Okay, you get a side effect from that, you know, from that medication. So they give you another pill to fight the side effect. And before you know it, you're taking 6 or 8 of these damn chemicals into your body every day. And the problem with the medical system is, I mean, no two of us are the same. If you and I are suffering from the same condition and we're taking the same identical medications, no doctor knows exactly what that's going to do to us because we're all chemically different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like they're using us like a pack of guinea pigs, for God's sakes.
That's true.
To me, it really makes no sense. And, you know, I think it's just about time that medicine grew up and became what it should be. And it should be about healing and not money.
Right.
And today, it seems to be all money. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry is one of the biggest industries on this planet. And if I have it my way, we're going to put an end to that.
Now, when people use marijuana recreationally, it does get a bad rap for its effects on the memory. Have you seen anybody try to treat Alzheimer's or dementia or anything like that with the cannabis oil?
Again, very effective.
Really?
One of the first patients we treated with Alzheimer's was a man in the States, an 82-year-old man. They diagnosed him with Alzheimer's. He didn't know where he was at anymore. His daughter, she put him on the oil. 3 weeks later, he's out selling real estate again.
Whoa.
So it's very effective. And there's a lady, I believe, in England. She had had Alzheimer's for 11 or 12 years. And there's some footage of her up on the internet showing her out on the sidewalk. Like, I mean, all her children had grown up, you know, your grandchildren and things. And she, you know, she remembered them as children. And all of a sudden, here's adults standing in front of her. And she's talking to people on the street and greeting them. And that's what happened. They got her on the oil.
Wow.
So we've even had wonderful results with schizophrenia. You see, what determines our, you know, our perception of reality is called the pineal gland.
Yeah.
And if the pineal gland is unhealthy due to, well, due to fluoride or many of these chemicals that are, they shove down our throats and these pills, you know, that can calcify your pineal gland. And where it determines our perception of reality, then you get this condition called schizophrenia. And what we're seeing with the use of the oil, if you have the right oil, you get a schizophrenic on this oil and get them away from the chemicals, decalcifies the pineal gland, and these people go back to normal. We've had wonderful results with this, and actually, there's new scientific studies out there indicating just that. You know, the doctors for years have been telling people to stay away from cannabis because it causes schizophrenia. Well, guess what? Just the opposite is true. It's a very effective treatment for this condition.
Wow. So mainly you recommend that people make this themselves. If they live in an area where it's very risky legally to get a hold of a high amount of marijuana, a couple of ounces to make the oil, is there anywhere where it can be bought on the planet that you recommend or no?
Well, I mean, of course, there's many countries like that. Actually, I'm leaving for India very in the next few days myself. But India, they grow it all over the place. In Bangladesh, cannabis is legal. You know, so there are places people could go to get their hands on the proper material. I mean, after all, it is Indian hemp we're talking about. But, you know, like, but if you're relying, like, you know, on suppliers in Europe or North America to supply you with the proper substance, there's a very good chance that, you know, you're just going to get robbed. But people that have the money or could afford, you know, to go to India, I always laughed. I had an Indian doctor one night called me on the phone, and he was asking me, he said, well, where do I get this? And I said, you live in India, right? And he said, well, yes. I said, well, look out your window. You'll probably see some. But, you know, I mean, it's always been part of Indian culture forever, and up in Nepal and all these other, you know, regions of the Himalayas. So I'm kind of excited about going there because I want to go to the birthplace. They say there's a valley up there. I guess that's supposed to be where Shiva started the whole thing. So it might be interesting, I believe.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Now, when it comes to treating cancer with this stuff, there is a pretty aggressive protocol and regimen too. Can you talk to us about that a bit?
Well, you know, it's like I said, you're looking at 60 grams over 90 days. And as I said, if you start with, you know, your first dose, little speck, you know, I mean, the first dosage of this oil would equal about a quarter of a drop. Just a little tiny speck. You take that early in the morning, then about mid-afternoon, take another speck, and then about an hour before bed. You do that for 4 days, and then try to double the size, like to about the equivalent of a half a drop. Take that for 4 days, same thing, three times a day. Then after 4 days, try to double that to a drop, and then two drops, and then four drops. You just keep working your way up. And when you're up to the point where you're actually ingesting about a third of a gram or a third of a milliliter every dose, you're talking about ingesting about 9 drops of this oil at once. But by then, your system has become so used to the substance and has built up a tolerance that you don't even feel its effects anymore. You still sleep very well at night. But, you know, like what people have to understand in the beginning, it's going to promote a lot of sleep. The first 2 or 3 weeks, most patients are just laying there sleeping, you know, most of the time. I also tell them, you know, do not drive your car in the beginning until you get the feel of this medication. But once you understand the feel of it and everything, it doesn't impair your motor skills. It's not like alcohol or many of these pharmaceuticals. In other words, you're not drunk or you're not impaired. So you can safely drive your car once you become accustomed to it. There's simple things I often tell, you know, the patients, you know, to do, like change your diet, you know, more raw fruits and vegetables, juicing machines, get your body's pH up. That's very important. And, you know, by simply taking or eating substances like watermelon, or lemon, or drinking lemon juice, or even baking soda mixed with water. This can alkalize your, can bring your alkalinity up. If you get your out, if your body is up over 7, then cancer doesn't like that, because cancer only thrives in an acidic environment. So once your body is no longer acidic, the cancer doesn't like that much. Eat the seeds from 2 or 3 apples every day. You know, like we all know about the apricots and all that, and Laetril. Well, the seeds from apples contain the same B17. And I believe that B17 is highly underrated. I think it is a very effective, well, it is an effective treatment, and many people have been cured using Laetril. But for the most part, a lot of people contacted me who were using Laetril, and for the most part, they were reporting that the cancer hadn't gone away, but it hadn't spread. So definitely, I think the Laetril did some good. And then they got the oil, of course, and then that put an end to the cancer. But, you know, it's just sensible, natural things you can do along with the oil treatment. And, I mean, I used to tell every patient this, and I had to laugh. I mean, a lot of them come back 3 months later. They're cancer-free. They're healthy, feeling good. And I'd ask them, you know, did you change your diet? Well, no. No, I don't think there was one person in 50 that actually changed their diet or did anything else. But the oil still cured them.
Wow.
So that's the way it is with this. But there's even, I've had a good number of patients that actually have cured their terminal cancers in 1 month. They took the whole treatment in 30 days. I mean, the first guy that did this, he was about 50 years old. He was dying. You're right. You know, I could tell he had maybe 3-4 weeks left, if that. He had a 16-year-old son with him. So I just asked him point blank. I said, you know, did you ever smoke cannabis? And he said, well, of course. And I said, okay, you've got no fear of this. You understand what cannabis is. So I said, normally I would start people off with smaller doses. But I said, in your situation, if I were you, I'd go home and I'd jump into this with both feet. Hmm. So 28 days later, same guy contacts me. He wanted to come see me. So he came. And when he comes through the door, I didn't recognize him. He gained about 20 pounds. He looked great. And he's sitting there across the table from me. And so I looked at him and I said, how much oil have you ingested? Well, he said, I took the whole 60 grams. And of course, that surprised me. And I, you ate 60 grams of oil in 28 days? And then he's, you know, he said, well, did I do something wrong? And I said, no. I said, you did everything right, but how did you do it? And he said, when I went home, he said, from when I left that day, he said, I went home and he said, I started taking dosages every 6 hours. And he said, every time I took a dose, I took more. He said, for the first week and a half, he said, I couldn't get off the Chesterfield. You know, it just kept him glued to the Chesterfield. And he said, then one morning I got up and he said, I took this great big dose. And he said, nothing happened. And he said, after that, he said, I just flew through it. 2 days later, he was declared cancer free. So, and this has happened many, many times. It's, you know, it's really all about getting the medicine into you.
Right.
You know, like a tumor is just a side effect of an underlying condition that's allowing cancer to spread, to grow and spread. But when you're taking the oil, you're not only ridding yourself of the tumor, the oil is also going after the underlying problem, you know, and it's helping your body in so many ways. You know, like this oil, same thing, like it's so wonderful for people with arthritis and things, diseases. Like, I mean, I had arthritis in both knees, which started when I was 45. But since I've been on, I've been taking the oil now for 14 years. Since I've been on this oil, I get joints like a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I strongly disagree with this thing, too. I mean, you know, we all get a little absent-minded as we get older. But I think what happens is when people smoke cannabis, their mind starts to wander to different subjects. You start thinking about things in different ways. And then often when you're on a subject, you just kind of phase out and you're thinking about something else. That doesn't mean that you're really that impaired or anything, but people seem to have a lot of concern about this. But as you can see, I mean, I've been ingesting this oil now since 2001, and I really can't say that it's done any harm to my brain or memory. And as a matter of fact, it's now been proven that cannabinoids are actually growing new brain cells in the hippocampus.
Wow.
You know, alcohol destroys brain cells. So do a lot of the chemicals and pills they give us. But cannabis grows new brain cells. So there's no damage whatsoever of any kind. There is no addiction. There's no problem with this medication. But I do think, you know, that the walls have to come down very soon now. The use of this substance is spread now to every country in the world. And, you know, I do think we you know, that possibly if we wake up quickly enough, we do have a chance to save ourselves and to save the planet. But, you know, I'm doing everything in my power to try to awaken people to the truth. And shows like this are certainly a big help. And, you know, this is not a one-man show. It's not just me. It's everyone involved in bringing the truth, you know, forward. And I have to say, Greg, I admire the work you're doing, and I think it's wonderful. Huh. So keep up the good work, brother.
Huh. Well, thank you so much. And, Rick, I cannot thank you enough. The whole reason for having this show and doing the work to gain an audience like this is so I can hand the mic over to people like you. But before we really end this thing, would you like to remind the people where they can find your website and more information about the oil and how to produce it themselves?
Well, again, my website is phoenixtears.ca. The CA stands for Canada. So there's other sites out there about phoenixtears.com and all of them. There's so many of them, but I have no connection. phoenixtears.ca. And there you can find all the information required to produce your own medicine and the dosage instructions. I also have two books available on this subject. Right now they're out as ebooks. There's Phoenix Tears, the Rick Simpson story. That was my first book. And believe me, that's a very ugly read because it wakes you up to what's actually going on in this world. And in the second book is called Phoenix Tears, Rick Simpson Oil, Nature's Answer for Cancer. And in that, well, there's some of the lectures I've given. There's a big section of questions and answers about different condition, medical problems and conditions. People, it seems like so far the books have been, you know, very well accepted. And actually, I just got 5,000 copies of my first book printed. So in the very near future, they too will be available. And then I'll have the second book put into print, and we'll make them also make that available on my website at Phoenix Tears. So, you know, if you have a medical problem, for God's sakes, look into what I'm saying. I mean, I have no reason to lie to you. I'm not making any money from you. Just go and read what I'm saying. You know, do a little bit of simple research on the internet. Watch some of these YouTube videos about people who have used this oil. And, I mean, it's just all common sense. So There, I think this is the answer to, you know, basically the answer to most people's medical problems. And I'm just happy that I was the one. I'm just the messenger. That's all I am. It's the oil that does the healing. And I'm just the messenger. But what a wonderful substance.
Right on. So are there any other useful ways that people who might be feeling passionate or motivated about this, are there any ways that they can get involved that you'd recommend?
Well, I mean, the main thing now is for people to gather in groups, you know, form groups and then get active with other groups involved in this. I mean, there's groups everywhere now, you know, that are fighting, you know, for the legal right, you know, to use this plant again. When I was in Chile in November, one of the activists down there told me, I mean, there's a language problem there because they're all Spanish. And he was trying to tell me about this march they had. And he said that I thought he said that there was 2,000 people marching. So I just kind of brushed it off, you know, because I've led marches with 12,000 people or more. But about an hour later, one of the activists at the event took me down to this photo gallery. And here was these pictures of the streets just full of people. Huh. And this guy, he could speak English better. And I asked him, I said, what is this? And he said, this is the march we had a few months ago. And I said, my God, man, I said, how many people were there? He said, Rick, there were over 200,000 people marching through the streets of Santiago demanding legalization. So, but, you know, I mean, you don't see that on the mainstream news media. You know, they keep these facts hidden. But this is growing now at such a quick rate that, you know, it will happen in the near future. But by forming groups and getting together about this subject and fighting for your rights, that's the way we have to do this.
Amen. Very inspirational. Well, Rick, thanks again. I have so much respect and admiration for you. Keep doing what you do and take care of yourself out there. All right, man?
Thank you very much, brother. It was a pleasure. And if you'd like me to come back sometime, I'd be happy to do so.
Absolutely.
Okay,
all right.
Brother.
Until then, take care.
All right. Good night.
And boom goes the dynamite, my friends. Wow. I thought that was a great one. Such a fun way to make something of the arbitrary 420 holiday. But honestly, saving lives, I mean, that is far from arbitrary. It sounds too good to be true, but the results are there. And smoking out and getting high, yeah, that's great. It's a lot of fun, but we're talking about a lot of lives. And in the Plus Show, we got more into the FDA, hemp as a fuel and a food and a building material and livestock feed, and celebrities like Tommy Chong who have used the Rick Simpson oil to cure cancer. A lot of people might be familiar with his case, but I mean, even the mainstream media has done these documentaries about kids who have serious daily seizures and only the hemp oil helps. And it's easy for socially conservative people to smirk and act all high and mighty and say, nah, you just want to get high. I don't buy it. God, it just must make these people want to wring somebody's neck. I don't understand why you can't just have both. I also hate this big campaign with medical marijuana to eliminate the high from it, or to consider it less medicinal or less valuable if it gets you high. But the high is a great, completely not harmful aspect of this plant. It's promoted as something dirty or wrong, like sex to a Catholic. To me, it is like saying, you're just gonna strip away sex from procreation. Sure, we need to continue the species, but we can't have all these people enjoying themselves while they do it. So we're just gonna be doing artificial insemination from now on. It's gonna be very clinical. Nobody has to touch. It is like that. It's like we want the end game of children, or in our case, medicine. But if people are gonna be feeling good along the way, well, then you can forget it. We have got to find a way to filter that out. I mean, who cares? I love it, and I live in it as much as I can, probably, definitely, to excess. And I'm sure some of the weirdos out there will consider me hedonistic or a Satanist because I like to indulge in pleasure that doesn't hurt anybody else. Well, let the YouTube comments fly, because you finally exposed my pleasure agenda as the stoner Satanist of San Diego. Give in to the pleasure agenda, people. And have a great 420. That is it for me today. I have done my part. Your move, gatekeepers of the ganj. Your frickin' move.
I smoke 2 joints in the morning. I smoke 2 joints at night. I smoke 2 joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright. I smoke 2 joints in time of peace and 2 in time of war. I smoke 2 joints before I smoke 2 joints and then I smoke 2 more. Oh, my daddy, he once told me, son, you be hardworking man. My mama told me, do the best you can. But then one day I met a man who came to me and said, hard work good and hard work fine, but first take care of head. So I smoke 2 joints when I get up. In the limo I smoke 2 joints. I smoke a couple joints when I play video gaming and every 10,000 points. I smoke 2 joints in time of peace and 2 in time of war. I smoke 2 joints before I smoke 2 joints and then I smoke 2 more. And then I smoke 2.